Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. This is your host, Elohim. Tonight, we're talking about economics. We're going to play the national anthem. Age of freedom has come, but you got to work for it. They don't just fall down and give it to you. Freedom ain't actually free. You have to pay for it. Labor, due diligence, You got to work hard to get it and to maintain it because you have people that don't think you should be free. And they're working hard to keep that freedom from you, okay? Now, our main goal is to emphasize the power of the Bible. The Bible is a very powerful book for God. And you have three types of people, three types of thought process in the Bible, that are slaves, that are men and women, and that are God, okay? Now, right now, I'd like to thank Source Energy for my birthing gods, James and Sarah, my mother and father's names, for giving me life so that I can embark on this wonderful journey. How can I say something like that? We're a Bible-based group, and we're going to bring you the thought process of the Bible. You have a lot of groups that are bringing their thought process to the Bible, and they're beating you over the head with it, becoming your slave masters. We don't need slave masters. We don't need a lot of leadership. There's a lot of things we don't need that they're giving you, telling you that you need, okay? Psalms 82:6, I have said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. This is in the Bible. It's telling you that you are gods, okay? Is it not written in your law? And this is backed up by Jesus. Jesus is confirming what they're saying. Is it not written in your law? I said you are gods. In your law, Jesus says, it says you are God. And he says, I said. Okay? So there's a lot of things we have to think about. We're bringing you the thought process of the Bible. This is not a religious group. Jesus didn't want us dealing with religion. Okay? For Jesus, religion was taking care of the orphans and the homeless. That's what he called religion. Okay? I would like to thank my God, Sarah, for going through the pain of baptizing me to make me a holy person. Wait a minute, Brother Elohim, what are you saying? I thought the baptizing, when they go dunk you in the water in the name of whoever they're saying supposed to be in the name of. Some say the Son of the Holy Ghost, some say Jesus Christ, some say just Jesus. It depends on what puppet master you're under, okay? But if you baptize people the way Jesus talked about the baptism, you'd be on the right track. Because Jesus said you can be baptized like him. He said that. Now, there's another way to be baptized like Jesus was baptized, through the water. That's the birthing process. That's your actual baptism. This is the thought process of the Bible now, okay? Now, what makes you say something like that, Brother Elohim? Are you saying that everything that you're saying is backed up by the Bible? Yes, it is. In Luke 2:23, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. When you go through that womb, what happens? Your water breaks. You're being baptized by God personally, according to the Bible. It says you're all gods. That make your mama a god. You was baptized through the water personally by God. And it was a little painful for God to do that. So you need to appreciate where you actually come from, okay? You were personally baptized by God. We're going to say this every show. You got to sink in. You got to know who your parents are. That's why I'm telling you, honor your mother and your father. Because we talk about Adam and Eve, we don't know who made Adam and Eve based on the truth. We're going to deal with the truth a little later on. But we do know who made you. We can verify it. We have records. We can tell who made you. And the Bible said who made you was a God. This is the thought process of the Bible. We have to come into a whole different understanding of what's going on, all right? I like to make an assertion. An assertion is an acceptance of source energy's law. As God of this dimension, I accept the law of reap what you sow, and I will not do or say anything that I do not want done or said to me. So let it be written, so let it be done. We're getting into the Bible story process now. Some of you are going to say, oh, man, never heard that before. And some of you are going to say, this guy has started off. Well, they're going to come at me. You remember, they crucified Jesus. They stabbed James with a sword, kidnapped Peter. Peter had to escape and go into the white tribe's territory so he could teach. So the thought process of the Bible is very powerful, but it's also dangerous to the power that be. So we're not afraid. We're coming out. We're telling you what's going on, okay? Now, I like to make my pledge. As I walk the path of being honest and good, I will keep my mind focused on reap what you sow, and I will have no trouble that I cannot solve. We're having problems out there. We're having problems solving our problems because we don't realize that your actions are creating the problems. You're reaping what you sow. If you don't like what you're reaping, sow something different. You see what I'm saying? The thought process of the Bible is absolutely amazing. If you don't like what's coming to you, stop putting things out that you don't want to bring back. It's just that simple. I'm saying just that simple, but it's not. Okay? Galatians 6:7. Everything that we're saying is backed up by the Bible. But the thought process that we're bringing to you is a thought process of God, not as men and women. See, I'm one of the gods of the Bible. And the Bible says we're all gods of the Bible. That's what the Bible says. So when people argue about this is the word of God, yes, it's the word of God. We're all gods. A God sat down and wrote this stuff down. So it is the word of God, not the Santa Claus God that knows everything and sees. No, not that God, but the God of the Bible, which it says that's what we are. Okay, Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whosoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. But reap what you sow. That's in the book. We're giving you things in the book from a different thought process. We're going to go through this part. Every show we're going to do this part because we're going to be like the commercials, like Coca-Cola and Pepsi-Cola and all the rest of them. Every time you hear us speak, we're going to be coming at you with this information because you're not getting this information because the puppet masters want you under their control. They can only control you if you're men and women. Once you make the transition into God, they lose control over you. It tells you God is in control. So they're giving you a God that can control you based on their being the person that God sent to you. But we're telling you that you are God. So when they say God is in control, that means you're in control of your life and what happens to you and what you bring to you. Okay? Now, what I like to do is do a little breathing exercise before we get started, get some little oxygen into that brain, you know. Just take 10 breaths and make sure you fill your lungs all the way up, okay? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, Okay, this gives us a little oxygen into the brain, so we'll be more apt to hear better what's coming at you on this broadcast, okay? Now, what I'd like to do at this point, we have an album out called 911 Jesus of Mercy, Jesus is Coming. And on the album, we have certain songs. I'd like to play a song off the album that correlates to what we're talking about, okay? And this album is called I Got the Spirit. It's not about the money or the diamonds and gold. Cause I've got the spirit that Jesus brought that could not be bought or sold. The kingdom of heaven is right within you, powering your soul. So go out in the name of Jesus and let the truth about the kingdom be told. To find the kingdom of heaven, you must first start with you. So let Jesus in your life and he will make your whole life brand new. Peter asked Jesus, when will the kingdom come? Jesus said, it's within you, my son. That could not be bought or sold. It's not about the money or the diamonds and gold. Cause I've got this spirit that Jesus brought that could not be bought or sold. So as you walk in the name of Jesus down all the dusty road, don't be concerned about brand names and all of those expensive clothes. Consider the lilies of the field, how beautifully God made them grow. King Solomon never looked that good in spite of all his money and woe. Peter asked Jesus, when will the kingdom come? Jesus said, it's within you, my son. It's not about the money or the diamonds and gold. I've got this about the spirit that Jesus brought that could not be bought or sold. It's not about the money or the diamonds and gold. Cause I've got this about the spirit that Jesus brought that could not be bought or sold. Peter asked Jesus, when will the kingdom come? Jesus said, it's within you, my son. It's not about the money or the diamonds and gold. I've got this about spirit that Jesus brought that could not be bought or sold. It's not about the money or the diamonds and gold. Cause I've got this about spirit that Jesus brought that could not be bought or sold. It's not about the money or the diamonds and gold. I've got this about spirit that Jesus brought that could not be bought or sold. It's not about the money. Now, that was one of the songs off the album, I Got the Spirit. You can go to Matthew 6:28-29 and learn a little bit about raiments and about that money. But there's more to it than that. We're just talking about how you spend so much money on clothes and things of that nature. And Jesus talked about that, okay? That would be Matthew 6:28, okay? So everything that we're doing, like I say, is Bible-based. Even the songs off the album, we can show you the scriptures where those songs are, okay? Now, we're talking about Elohim, five tribes, society of love. And while we're talking about tribal things like that, you know, if you go to Matthew 24:30, it says, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn then. They shall see the Son of Man coming through the clouds of heaven with power and glory." All the tribes of the earth. Now, it's not specifically talking about the tribes of Israel, okay? When it talks about the tribe of Israel, it tells you specifically we're talking about the tribes of Israel when you get into the Bible. We're giving you a different thought process. We're coming at you with the thought process of the Bible. Okay, now we're talking about love. Love is the act that makes others feel good. Oh, boy. We like to talk about love first because love is so important. Without us knowing how to love each other, we won't be able to do things that will keep us together. You've been to some of these groups and what they be saying to each other and the way they say how rude and everything that they are. That's because they're children. They haven't made a transition into God yet. We talked about that yesterday. Or was it Tuesday? Well, we talked about it many times. But you need to be born again. This is what we're telling you. And a lot of the thought process that we're giving you is part of that rebirthing process. Love is the act that makes others feel good. You're going to do something, you're going to say something that's not going to make the other person feel good. Unless it's the truth, don't say it. Okay? Just keep it to yourself. There's no reason to upset people for no reason whatsoever. You know? And to you people out there who are in relationships, don't be saying and doing things just to make your partner jealous. Because the heart has a neural net that remembers this stuff. And the heart gives off hormones when you just say or do something that people don't like, and it affects them in a different way. So unless it's the truth. And, you know, it says in the book that the truth is a two-edged sword. So you have to be mindful all the time what you're dealing with when you're dealing with love. Love is to act to make others feel good. So try to do things that make people feel good. Okay, we always talk about love a few minutes. I'm going to give a whole show on love. Well, actually, if you go into Blog Talk Radio, we have about 300 shows in there, you know, and we've given a show on everything. So you can scroll down and find out which show that you might be interested in hearing or learning a little bit about, okay? This show here is about economics. We're going to be talking about economics, all right? We always talk about what the puppet masters are doing. And we're talking about what we're doing. But for right now, we're going to go right into economics because we're almost at the halfway mark. It seems like we're just getting started here. Now, the question that you need to ask yourself is, what is economics? Oh, boy. You can go to college for 8 years learning about economics. I mean, they make it so complicated. We want to make it simple for you. Okay, because we're dealing from a biblical point of view. Economics is somebody else working and paying you. That's economics. Okay? Economics is somebody else working and paying you. How does that happen? Such as a person working and paying you rent. Let's say you buy a building. You only have to buy the building one time. Once you bought the building, that's it. Now people are paying you rent every month for as long as they're living there. That's economics. You don't have to work on buying the building no more. That's economics. Okay? If you have money, you can invest your money in stocks and bonds and things of that nature. As long as that money's in there, as long as those stocks are making money, you're making money. So your money is working and paying you. That's economics. If you don't have something or somebody working and paying you, and you got to get out here every day on that 9-to-5 and work, you don't have economics. What you have is a job. If you open up a business and you have to be there to work that business, all right, then you don't have economics. You have a job. business is turning to economics when you have managers, supervisors, and all that stuff there taking care of your business, and you're in Florida sitting on your boat drinking champagne. Well, I don't say drinking champagne. I don't want to encourage nobody to drink anything that makes you high or intoxicates you. The mind altering drugs. Oh, boy. Anyway, but you're in Florida sitting on your boat, having a nice glass of lemonade while your businesses are working. Now you don't have a job. You have economics because you have paying people to work your business to bring the money to you. Economics is somebody else working and paying you. That's what the slavery was all about. Okay? You have people working, and you're getting paid on their work, but you don't have to do the work. That's why slavery was so prominent during the slave trade, because slavery was about economics. This is the stuff that you're not telling me. Slavery was about economics. If you got a way to make money off the goods and services that somebody is doing, and it don't cost you anything to make stuff that they're making, and you're selling it at a high profit, that's economics. Somebody else is working and paying you with their labor and the products. The products are coming to you, so they're paying you with the products, and you're taking the products, flipping them. That's economics. That's why slavery was so big. You got slavery going on right now in different parts of the world, you know? You got economic slavery going on right here. So slavery is very prominent all over the planet because of how powerful it is. Now, you want to learn about slavery, you want to know more about slavery, sit down and get a King James Version of the Bible. Go into the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is the science of slavery. It will tell you how they got all this, how they got everything, how they set it up, what they're doing, how they treat your children, every dog, but all that's in Deuteronomy. They didn't just come up with this on their own. That's why I say the Bible is a very powerful book. When King James redid that Bible, holy crap, they took that thing and said, man, they went and conquered the known world. There was no British Empire before the King James redid that Bible. Hello? There was no British Empire. Okay? Rome, okay? They say Rome had conquered the world, but Rome didn't. Okay? When the Pope and Britain got their hands on that Bible, the King James redid that thing, man, they went crazy. And they became the largest empires on the planet. That's what happened. That's how powerful the Bible is. There's instructions in there for God. See, when they made the transition into God, that's when the Bible became the most useful. The Bible is an empire-building book. That's what it is. All right? Look at the money that these people are making off the gods coming to the church, giving the money. It's all about economics. They don't have to, now they're still working because they have to put out the sermons and they have to preach and they have to travel and all that. They're still working. So still a job for them, but boy, are they getting paid on this job. But they do have other ministers working for them in their groups collecting the money. So they have economics going on along with the job. That's possible to do too. So how do you get started? How do you get out of all of this? Economically, you can begin a growth cycle. It starts with the 50% budget. Well, where do we get the 50% budget from? Right out of the Bible. Joseph told Pharaoh, right, there's 7 years of good times, 7 years of bad times. He told him to put 1/5 of the property on the side and start saving during the good times. That's for 7 years. We broke it down in 2 years, and we say 50%. Save half, spend half. Now, you have to ask yourself, would it be nice if I had all the half of all the money that I made during my lifetime? He would say, yes, it sure would be. Well, you spend half, you save half. You put yourself on a 50% budget. If you can't save half your money, you're living beyond your means. And you have to cut back. You have to cut back not to spend more money, but to save more money, to get to the 50% budget. Once you get to the 50% budget, when you make more money, you can put half one side, half the other side. You can constantly increase, but only spend half your money. Let's say you got $5,000. You don't go out and spend $5,000 on a car. The most you can spend on a car is $2,500, half of what you have. You don't never spend all your money like that. As soon as something happens and go wrong, you run all over the place trying to get a few dollars to pay your rent, to pay your bills, to stay off the street, to eat. That's not supposed to happen, because this information you're getting is right in the Bible. You're supposed to know this information. They're supposed to be giving you this information to make you stronger. This is the thought process of the Bible. The thought process of the Bible is supposed to transition you into God. That's what it's supposed to do. Now, the puppet masters, they want to keep you as men and women. Men and women are children. This is something else we're going to say every time I get a mic. This is what I'm going to be saying. I'm not saying the puppet masters are evil, but they're manipulating you, keeping you as men and women. Your children are trans. Wait a minute, brother. I ain't going to say my child is a trans. When they become teenagers, they're supposed to be transitioning into God. But the religious organizations have blocked that. That's the problem that Jesus had with the religious organization. They're blocking the children to becoming what Jesus was. And Jesus said, you can be like him. You can do greater stuff than what he did. This is what Jesus was telling you. Okay? But once you rise up into the mind of God, once you are born again, like he told Nicodemus, because Nicodemus, they got Nicodemus going the same old scripture day in and day out and day, and he's not learning anything. He's stuck. He's stuck there, so he's not growing. When he told him he needed to be born again, he was telling him that you need to upgrade into his teachings. What I was teaching, if you upgrade into the teachings that Jesus was bringing, it's a birthing process. We'll get into that on another show, but right now we're talking about economics. We want to try to keep it towards economics as much as possible, but your thought process has to be upgraded. All right? If we're going to do things, that's going to make us stronger, make us more powerful. All right? Money is not power. Money creates influence on what is the power. What is the power of the planet? The people are the power of the planet. But they want to keep you as men and women. They want you need to grow into your godhood. Once you grow into your godhood, then you'll see that you are the power. This is why the advertising and promotion, all that stuff is going on. The people that don't want you to have power don't want you to have the power to vote. They talk about, well, we're going to make America great again. When? When was America great again? You mean when women didn't have the right to vote? They're scared of these females. I'll tell you why in another show. We'll talk about why they're scared of this woman. Well, I took them on the last show. You know, in fact, if you go on YouTube right now, Elohim Christ, I forget what the show is called, but it's called Elohim Christ Health. We talked about why they're afraid of women, you know, and we're talking about why nobody wants to be a man or a woman anymore. You're supposed to be making a transition into God. That's what you're supposed to be doing. But the puppet masters make sure that you're not in control. Well, God is in control. Yes, God is in control. God is that person in your mirror. That's who's in control of your life. But you have to understand the law. You can't break the law. This is the whole thing that you need to learn. You cannot break the law. The law of the universe is you reap what you So based on what you're doing, that's coming back to you. When you make the transition into God, you don't lie, you don't cheat, you don't steal, you don't break, you don't do anything that you do not want to come back to you. See, this is when you go into God. You don't eat from the animal kingdom. You ain't killing and murdering all these animals out here. You don't do nothing to alter your consciousness, because your consciousness is everything. The Christ consciousness is what answers all your questions. Some people call it the universal mind. But going all the way back from the time of the Dogons, where it's called the Christ consciousness, okay? We spell it C-H-R-I-T, but the Egyptians spelled Christ, K-R-S-T. They knew back then what was going on, okay? I'm trying to give you a mental upgrade, so that a mental thought process to allow your mind to constantly upgrade so that you can see what's going on. Like those who have ears hear, like those who have eyes can see. This is where we're going with this. We want you to see. We want you to hear. We want you to wake up. They don't even want you to wake up no more. They don't change the words by waking up. Now they want you to stay. They want you to stay asleep. Yeah, I'm woke. I'm going to stay woke because I know what's going on, you know. They're doing all this based on the transgender LGBTQ people. They're the ones that's them trapped where they are. The religious institutions, they're the ones that have the LGBT community, transitional people, trapped where they are, because they're supposed to be transitioning into God. That's what they're supposed to be doing, transitioning into God, so that they can take control over everything that they're doing, economics, everything. They can take control over their money. I think I'm getting a little sidetracked here. I don't want to get too sidetracked. But it's so important that you understand the thought process. The trans people are transitioning. You got them transitioning to men and women. Who wants to be a man and a woman the way y'all mistreating men and women out here? Don't nobody want to be no man or no woman. You got baby carriers, non-baby carriers. That's what's going on. Now, they don't like the term, they don't like the terms and the way you're treating men and women. And you can't blame, who would want to be a woman in Iran? You can't drive, can't go to work, can't do anything. I like talking about this because this is really important. The children are supposed to be transitioning into God. Now they got them transitioning into the LGBT community. But they're not. That's not really where they're supposed to be going. The LGBT community is not even supposed to be going there. They're supposed to be becoming gods. But the religious institutions are blocking that, are blocking what they're supposed to be transitioning into. That's what's going on out there. Well, let me go back to the topic of the day. It's just so frustrating for me to know how powerful these people are with. And the only reason they're not growing into power correctly is because of the religious institutions. I'm just telling you straight up. The religious institutions are blocking these people from transitioning into the gods that they're supposed to be. Why are we here? We're supposed to be monitoring the Milky Way galaxy. Anyway, we're talking about money. We're supposed to be talking about economics here, all right? Now, let's talk about what real money is. What is real money? Let's go there. You know, I get carried away because it's so frustrating. I see all these gods running around out here and don't know where they're going, don't know what their next step is, don't know what the next level they're supposed to be on. It gets a little frustrating. But anyhow, what is real money? Let's talk about that money for a minute. What is real money? Real money is food, clothing, shelter, and security. That's real money. Everything else is what you're using to barter to get real money. When you get them Benjamins, that fiat currency, we'll talk about that one day too. When you get that fiat currency, and you first thing you want to do, you need an apartment or a house, you need someplace to stay. Now you need something to eat. You need some kind of food to eat. You got to wear something. You need clothes on your back. This is what you're spending your money on, what they're calling money. But it's not real money. This is what you're using your Bada transcripts for, your Bada transcriptions for, okay? You're using that to get real money. So if you want to invest in something, invest in the real money. Food, clothing, shelter, and security. Invest in these things, and you will constantly get paid, which is what you're trying to do. Now, we're talking about, let's go a little further here. We're dealing with the thought process of the Bible. Everything I'm telling you is in the Bible. I'm not telling you anything that's not in this book. It's just that the puppet masters are keeping your thought process into such a position that you don't know that you're the gods that's blessing them. Well, there's only one God, not according to the Bible. The Bible tells us more than one God. All throughout the book, it's telling you more than one God. Don't worship no God other than me. How can you worship another God other than me if there's only one God? You know? Same thing they do in all the communities. They tell you it's only one God. Allah is the one God. Buddha is the one God. The books, all of the books are telling you something different. How can you worship? How can they tell you, don't worship no God other than me if there's no other God? You see, the Bible, Psalm 82:6. I love this Bible. The Bible is amazing. You are all gods, okay? Well, I'm not holy. Every man born of a, coming through the woman is holy. You're born holy. That's the King James Version. Now, I don't want to get it screwed up here because some of the other versions, they take the keys out, telling you only the firstborn. They say the firstborn. That's a key change. That's why I only recommend the King James Version because most of the keys are still in the King James Version. They take some of the keys out of that too. But the King James Version is pretty, most of the keys are still there, okay? Now, the question is, I know I'm jumping around here, but the thought process of the Bible is so important. That's why I keep bringing it in. I'm going to be bringing it in. As long as I'm talking, I'm going to be bringing in the thought process of the Bible, okay? Because the thought process of the Bible is what you need, not the thought process of whatever religious group that you're in, whatever church you belong to, whatever you belong to. That thought process is not the Bible's thought process. We're giving you the Bible's thought process now. You're supposed to be transitioning into God. That's the Bible's thought process. Okay? And it tells you this. You can read it for yourself. I'm not saying nothing that's not in the book. Okay? Now you're saying, how do I organize? What are the first steps to gaining power? Your tribe. You have tribe. And then you have family, all right? We talk about the five tribes. Take a minute, look at your color, all right? We get into color. Yeah, we get into color. It's important. Look at your color. That color represents one-fifth of the world's population. One-fifth. That means that whatever color you are, your tribe is all over the world. That means there's no borders for you. You don't have any borders. The borders are brought about by children. That's why they fight and kill each other so much over the borders. Okay? That's the first step. It's a thought process that's going to bring you into power. And you, whatever your color is, understand that that's one of the five tribes. And you, at this time, since the white tribe is ruling right now and their time is almost up, all of the tribes have to work together. In order to do what we're supposed to do while we're here, maintaining the Milky Way galaxy. So, oh, man, this guy, he's out there. Yes, I'm out there. I'm on cloud, whatever you want to call it. You know, I don't want to say cloud nine. They're talking about getting high. That's what I'm saying. Listen, you want to become powerful. If you watch the TV, when you watch the TV, they take you into mama, papa, and a cousin. That's as far as they go. They don't take you into your entire diaspora. You got a whole diaspora up there, aunts, uncles, nephews, great-nephews, and extended family. When you get married, that becomes part of your tribe. It's huge. If you got 1,000 or 2,000 people coming from the birthing process, that's why the birthing process is so important. This is why we raise in Cain about abortion. Okay, I shouldn't say we. About abortion and about same-sex marriages. We need the babies. We need the babies. I'm going to talk about that, but not today. I'm not a baby carrier, so I have mixed emotions about the whole thing, or whether they should have abortions, not have abortions. I kind of stay out of it because I leave that to the baby carriers and what they think about that, you know, because that's quite a process. Baptizing babies is quite a process. And every guy don't want to go through that process. I can't understand it because I'm not a baby carrier. I'm a non-baby carrier. So I have to lean towards what the baby carriers are saying. Okay? But listen to me. I don't keep getting distracted on the money. But that is the money. If you got 3,000 people in your diaspora that you're keeping in contact with, okay, then that means you got 3,000 people that will buy a product the minute you make it. They will support you in what you're doing. Why? Because you're part of their crew. You're part of the family. That's what a family is. A family is the economic structure that you have to take care of your tribe. Okay? Your personal tribe is what's coming through your bloodline. That's your personal tribe. Your global tribe, whatever color you is, one-fifth of the world's population, that's your global tribe. When they talk about the tribes of the world, that's one of the tribes of the world. That's going to come together. You're going to be we're mourning now, but we're not. I don't want to get into that. But I'm trying to bring it into the Bible's thought process so you can see more about what's going on. Okay, the family is the economic structure that you have to take care of your, I don't like to use the term tribe, but to take care of your bloodline in diaspora. That's a better terminology to use than tribe because your tribe represents one-fifth of the world's population. But your diaspora, that's your bloodline. Okay? Now, where did I get this information from? From the Bible, the book of Numbers. There's so much in that Bible. What does the book of Numbers say? How do you organize your diaspora? The Bible, the book of Numbers, 1:18. And they assembled all the congregation together on the first day of the second month. And they declare their pedigrees after their families by the house of their fathers, according to the numbers of the names from 20 years old and upward by the polls. See, they do polling out here right now. You wonder where they're getting all this stuff from. They're getting it from the Bible. The Bible is a very powerful book. So what you need to go on Ancestry.com or wherever you can and find out what your bloodline is. Don't get caught up in what the holidays mean. The 1% know what the holidays mean. The holidays give you an opportunity to connect with your diaspora. Send them Easter cards, Christmas cards, Halloween cards, whatever. Don't get caught up on what the religion of the holidays are professing to you. You are above religion. You got to rise above religion and become God. Now, since they have sanctioned a holiday called Christmas, get your Christmas cards out to your bloodline, to your diaspora. Let them know who you are, where you are, what's going on. Okay? Then when you have, when Halloween comes around, don't be worried about goblins and all that stuff. It's a chance, it's a holiday. It's a chance to give information to your tribe, to your diaspora. New Year's, the same thing. This is what you're supposed to be doing. This is how you begin to become power. Power is, people are the power. You have 2,000 or 3,000 people in your diaspora. We all do. But you're not contacting them. You don't know who they are. Half the people don't even know who their cousins is. Your cousin could be living right around the corner from you. You don't even know they're your cousin. I got one of my nephews, baby mamas, around the corner from me, head child. And I didn't even know she was there until I walked across the street and saw her coming out of the house. Yo, what's up, you know? It's amazing when you don't have the thought process of the Bible, how much you're missing out on. And the puppet masters, they make sure that they're pushing you into being men and women. They got women's sports. They got men's sports. Okay, that's fine. Nothing wrong with that. Then they got sports where men or women can participate if they so desire. All of the sports should be set up just like that. Whoever want to get in, get in. You know? But I can appreciate them having, them separating the baby carriers from the non-baby carriers. I can appreciate that. I can appreciate everything they're doing out there. But if you feel as though that you should qualify as whether you're a baby carrier or non-baby carrier in a certain sport, they have a sport for you like that where all you can just get in and challenge whoever you want to challenge. They have it like that. But you have to begin to change your thought process. Okay? Now, I'm saying this because the babies are very important. It ain't so much the baby. You keep thinking baby. It's the genetic markers that you get from your mother and father when you're born. That's the future, you see, because that information is compounded in the child. And when that child gives birth, she gives birth to another with another person, and then you have two more genetic markers that are unique. Your genetic marker is unique to the planet. And if you don't have a child to put that genetic marker forward, we suffer because the genetic marker information is our future coming from the two gods that birthed you, that brought you into existence. We need the genetic markers into the future. That's what's going on. When two LGBT, I'm not familiar with all the terms, but when two non-baby carriers get together at an early age and get married, they're not having no children. And if they don't have children, the genetic marker from the two parents that brought them here will be lost. Once they die, that genetic marker is gone. We won't have it. Unless we take some of their blood and go into the test tube and make a baby, we need the genetic markers. It ain't so much about the baby, but the genetic marker that's in the child coming from the parents, coming from your parents. That's the future. That's the information. They're calling evolution, but it's not evolution. It's by design that the generations get smarter and smarter and smarter because of the genetic markers. That's why back in the day, they had arranged marriages. They was arranging the genetic markers. That's what they were doing. And they had certain people that have certain training, that have certain qualifications. They want those people with qualifications similar to them. Qualifications similar to theirs to enhance the future of the country. That's what the arranged marriages was all about. It wasn't about love and all that stuff. It's about the growth of the country. Each generation is supposed to be smarter than the last because of the genetic markers. I'm telling you, baby carriers and non-baby carriers, if you're not having no children, you're hurting. You're hurting us. You're hurting everybody because your genetic marker is unique, and we need that in a child because so that generation can be smarter than you. And you LGBT communities and gay and whatever you're calling yourself out there, you're smart as hell. Your genetic markers coming from your parents is why you're so smart. We need those genetic markers to go forward so that the next generation can be smarter than you. I'm watching television and one of those LGBT people, I guess it's those, I don't, you have to excuse me because I don't understand all the terminologies that you guys are using out there. They jump up and say, well, I'm a physicist and I'm this, that, and the other. Yes, that's because of the genetic markers you got from your mother and father. Give us the same opportunity. Have a baby. After you had a baby, who cares who you sleep with? You can sleep with cows, dogs, whatever you want. We don't care. We want that genetic marker into the future so that we can be smarter than you. That's what we want. It's not so much about who you sleeping with. It's about you not having a baby. We want that genetic marker. So then if you want to go sleep with a frog, have at it. Who cares? You know what I'm saying? Who cares who God sleep with? As long as we get that genetic marker into a child, we don't care who you sleep with. We got that genetic marker. We cool. You don't ever have to have another child if you don't want. But we know our future is secured because our future is going to be smarter than you. This is what it's all about. It's about the genetic markers, man. They worrying about who you sleeping with. Who cares who you sleep? You can go sleep with a car if you want. We don't care who you sleep with. We just want that. We need that genetic marker. See, this is the thought process of the Bible. That's what was going on. They knew that the men's genetic marker back then was special. So they made sure that the men's genetic marker was carried into multiple women. See, they knew that. But what they didn't understand, well, they do understand it, but what they didn't want to see happen was the female's genetic marker to get out there like their genetic markers is getting out there. But that female genetic marker is powerful. I'm saying female, the baby carriers, their genetic marker is powerful, just like our genetic marker is powerful. The non-baby carriers, I'm so far off the subject, it's unbelievable, but I get carried away because we're losing our future because you're relating it to sex. It ain't got nothing to do with sex. It's about the genetic marker. After you have a baby, sleep with a snake if you want to. We don't care. I don't care if you sleep with another woman or another guy or whatever. That don't bother nobody. We want the genetic markers because the genetic markers carry us into the future. We want the next future to be smarter than you. That's what we want. And your child will be smarter than you. Evidence is proving that out. Okay, I only got 2 minutes. I know I'm supposed to be talking about money. I wanted to go into a different place, but I got carried away. I get carried away about that genetic marker. It's so important. Look, I walked the path of being honest and good. All that I have done today, I eagerly embrace its return to me. So let it be written, so let it be done. Remember, love is the act to make others feel good. We're talking about the 50% budget. Save half, spend half. I apologize, I got off subject a little bit. got off subject a lot. Save half, spend half. If you can't save half your money, you're living beyond your means. Okay, I don't care if you're a millionaire. You got millionaires that be broke in a couple of years because they're not following a 50% budget. If you're only making $10 an hour, okay, follow a 50% budget. Save half. Than half, and you'll always be in good shape, okay? If you got $5,000 and you want to buy a car, if all you got is $5,000, only spend $2,500. Save half the money, because if something goes wrong, the car got to be fixed. And if you spend all your money on a car, and the car breaks down, how are you going to fix it? It's crazy. 50% budget, and it's in the Bible. That's what saved Egypt. The 50% budget, spend half, save half. They did it for 7 years. They took 5% for 7 years. We're telling you to take 50% for 2 years. I'll give you more instructions on that. In the meantime, we love you. Love is the act to make others feel good. You go forth and have a feel-good day. We'll talk to you again later. Hmm?